Well, welcome to week five of our Uncharted. This is a big Sunday for us. This is a what? No, that's not going to work. No, it'll be fine. You would be surprised at how few things work before the minute you walk into this room, and some of them that don't work after you get in here, right? But yeah, hey, we're really excited for today. Today is a commitment Sunday for us. This is the moment where we as a church really take some action on some calling that we've been hearing from God. This is going to be a life-changing day in the history of our church, and I'm so glad that you are part of it. This is a really exciting day, and if you are visiting with us today for the first time, if you're a visitor here with us today, you picked an absolutely wonderful day to be part of this church because you are getting ready to see God move through a group of people in ways that you never have before. So I'm excited for you to be here with us. We are a church that is not just content to be comfortable or be complacent, but we want to take big steps of faith, that we want to follow God's calling into uncharted territory. And in this whole series, we've been challenging ourselves. We've been hearing God call to us about big steps of our faith, of our surrender, of our trust, and of our generosity, because we want to be a church that helps people find their way back to God. And we know that that does take all of us to do that. So, you know, our goal for this whole experience has been that 100% of our church would take that step of faith in their journey of generosity in ways they never had before. And today we're going to take a big step towards that goal of 100%. So I'm really glad you're there. But before we get there, I just want to remind us a little bit of where we've been on this journey. Because throughout this entire series, we have heard God calling to us. And in the first week that we were together, we heard God's call to engage together. We talked about some really, really important statistics. We talked about the fact that Grand Rapids is the 46th least church city in the United States of America. Right? Out of the top 50 churches that are least churched, or cities that are least churched, Grand Rapids is right there within the top 50, right? We also talked about the number that 14% of people in Jamestown Township, 14% of people in Jamestown Township claim that their faith is important to them. And so as we talked about some of those numbers, we noted that God had said that I have placed each and every one of you so that, right, so that people would call upon God, that other people would reach out for him and find their way back to him. That's why God has placed us where he has placed us. And there's a lot of things inside of us that keep us from responding to that call, right? We have these issues in our heart, these desires of our heart that keep us from following God's call, from stepping out into uncharted territory. They keep us stopped short of where God is leading. And one of the things that Jesus says is there's nothing quite like our finances and our resources that do the work of shaping the desires of our heart. So we started this conversation in the very first place because we care about the desires of our hearts and that we believe that this conversation, these callings will shape those for us. So our first step was to just simply respond to the call and engage. Because as I said that first week, there's often two ways to respond to this conversation. One is to hear it and go, oh, I get it. The church is talking about money and you know what? I'm out, right? I'm out. The church just wants my money. And if we think that way, we sort of miss this opportunity God has for us to do some heart work, to do some work of the desires of our heart. We miss out on something that God might be calling us to that's new. And another response is to say, okay, I get this conversation. I get this. This is about finances and stuff. I'm in. Just let me write a check and we're good to go, right? But when we do that, we feel comfortable dealing with the finances, but we miss the part of the heart, right? We feel uncomfortable listening to the challenge of God shaping our hearts. So God's called us in the first week was to engage, not stop short, that God wants our hearts and that our resources actually do the work of shaping our hearts. That was first week. Right? Our second week together, we heard a call to pray, the call to pray, because we realized that God wants to be in the center of everything, that God designed this world for him to be at the center of everything, and he calls us to create space in our lives for him to fill it up with him. We looked at what Jesus said about the woman who dropped less than a penny into the offering plate, right? And Jesus reminds us that it's not about what we give. It's about what the gift represents in our life. And for that woman, that gift represented, I'm keeping God in the center of everything in my life. And so for us, our call was to pray, was to engage God in conversation and say, God, how do I keep you at the center of everything in my life? So that was week two. In week three, we heard the call to follow. We talked about discipleship. And we also noted that each and every one of us hears about 3,000 advertising messages in a given day. And every single one of those messages tells us that we can have it all. That we can say yes, and we can say yes, and we can say yes. But our call is to look like the one we follow, to look like Jesus, right? And the one we follow doesn't create a culture of you can have it all. He creates a culture of death and resurrection, of letting go before we grab on, of saying no before we say yes. We would all love the new life and the resurrection without going through the death, but that's not what Jesus does. So every disciple who has ever followed God has had to let go of something. And each and every one of us is faced with that very same invitation to let go, to step out of the box, to step out of the boat, to let go of what's ours and to grab on with what God is offering to us. So that was our third week, that call to follow. And then last week, finally, we heard a call to choose. That there are a lot of great ideas in the world, but it's our choices that change anything, right? It's our choices that lead us to experiencing something new. It's our choices that matter. And we looked at the life of God's people, and we noticed that after four generations in slavery, God had to do some work with them. He had to deprogram them from a life of slavery and to think differently about how they live into a new way of life with God. And so he gave them practices to share with them, to shape their lives in different ways. And one of the practices was God said, don't cut the corners of your fields. It's a weird practice for us to think about, but for them, it meant if you don't harvest everything in your field, that means the poor and the fatherless and the widow and the foreigner can come by and harvest what you've left for them. But what we notice is that God never defined a corner. He didn't tell you how much exactly to leave. He invited us into a choice in our life of generosity. He wants us actively engaged in choosing. He didn't want to give us just a minimum effort to check the box with. So we asked that question, how big are the corners of our fields? What choices do we make to practice a life of generosity in a way that causes us to trust God more than we do today? So that's where we've been. That's been our journey together, right? It's been an amazing journey. And if you haven't quite figured it out yet, this is totally not a series on money. It's all about your heart. It's all about discipleship. It's about our growth as followers of God and about what God is doing inside each and every one of us as we really wrestle with the desires of our hearts. Paul tells us this in Romans 8. He says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. Think about this for a moment. Not only have we heard God's calling, but God actually has a design for you and I. God chooses to shape you along the lines of his son. He chooses to shape each and every one of us to say, this image of Jesus Christ, that's what I'm moving you towards. You get to look just like that. So God is shaping, calling, inviting each of our hearts to look more like Jesus. That's what we've been doing in this whole series. And you're doing it, right? You're picking this up. I'm hearing all kinds of conversations about how this is working in your lives and challenging you, because I know some of you, this whole series has made you argue at home, right? You've had some fights with your spouse about where we're going with this. I've heard of those things too, and I appreciate that, because I know that we don't grow without some pain, without some struggle. So you're not alone in that. This shaping work is difficult and challenging. But people have said things to me throughout this journey, things like this. Things like, this is really challenging what I love, right? That's a big statement. Someone said this to me, I've never heard the church discuss finances like this before. This is changing my life. And someone says, I'm realizing the moment I start to let go is the moment I have a choice of who to look for what I need, myself or God. So you're doing it. You're getting it. You're working through this. You're processing through this. You're wrestling through this. And you're understanding that God's doing a work of your heart. You're doing it, church. It's great. You're engaging. You're praying. You're following. You're choosing. And we have this conversation together because there isn't quite anything else like this conversation that shapes our hearts in this way. And so today is really important because we've been hearing God call. Now we get to take a step of action into that, right? On what we've been called into. Today we hear the call to commit, because when we commit, it moves us across this sort of invisible line, right? It moves us across a line where everything starts to change. It moves us from something towards something else. From just hearing what God is saying to living a life inside of what God is saying and letting it change our lives. So if you have your guidebooks today, we're going to be on page 42. It's week 5, if you want to take some notes on there, 42. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 3. If you have a Bible, we'll put it up on the screen also for you as well. I know that in the guidebook it lists James and Luke as some scripture. Those are good ones too. But go ahead and add Joshua 3 to that list, because that's where we're going to be hanging out today more than anywhere else. And as you do that, I just want to read the story first of Joshua 3, and then we'll come back and look at a few phrases in there. Here's what God says in Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the whole camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Lord, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. This is uncharted territory for this nation. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. We're going to talk about cubits. Hang on. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan River, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters were flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. All right, so that's the story. Let me give you a little bit of background on the story. Last week we noted God's people were slaves in Egypt for 4 centuries. God rescued them from that slavery and brought them out to Mount Sinai. 50 days after they left, they ended up on Mount Sinai, where God gave them a bunch of practices. He gave them a bunch of ways of living that would shape them, not as slaves, but as God's people, as his children, right? We call this the law, or the Ten Commandments. This is where God sort of laid out these practices. Then he gave them 40 years to practice, right? 40 years to sort of figure out how to work these into their lives, right? You know how it says, how you've often heard, like it takes 21 days to create a new habit? God's math is a little different. 40 years, okay? 40 years to practice, right? Day after day, they set up camp, they took down camp. They gathered the food that God had sent. They followed him. They listened to him as he told them about the promised land that they would enter. Every day, year after year, decade after decade, they learned about what it meant to trust God. They learned to rely on God. And now 40 years later, here they are. They're at a river called the Jordan River, just across the way from the promised land he'd been talking about this whole time. Now, their leader Moses had passed away, and now Joshua was in charge. He's leading the nation into this really important, extremely important moment in the life of their people. So as we think about the story, I want to notice three words today that really stand out about this story to me. Three words, not only for them, but I think for us today. So the first word I want to talk about is the word cross, right? Cross. It shows up like three or four different times in the story. God's talking about crossing this river and who's going to cross when and what does that all look like, right? Seems like an obvious word, but it's actually a really pivotal moment. It's a moment where everything turns. And they're doing more than just getting ready to enter the promised land, right? They're actually ending a desert journey, a life of slavery. But they're also doing more than just ending a desert journey. They're starting a new journey in the promised land. Both of these things are happening all at the same time. And crossing the Jordan River is an important moment because that's when they commit to this new way of life. That's when they leave one behind and take a next step into a new way of living. They're crossing from one way of living towards another way of living. And these are important moments, not just for them, but for us. Because moments of crossing are definitive in our life. They become moments where we look back generations later and say, that was a time when we stood up and we made a change and our life took off in a new direction. They define our relationships with God. They become these landmarks. Landmarks that we tell generation after generations. Moments where we've not quite yet arrived, but we have started out on a new chapter. And today, you're going to make a commitment that will be a pivot in your story, where you cross over a line from one way of living towards a new way of living. This commitment that you're going to make today is going to move you from something to something else. Just like the Israelites who are finally moving from slavery towards freedom and towards life as God's people. For you, that might mean God may be moving you from self-reliance to God-reliance, or from fear and towards trust, or from selfishness and towards a mission for others. I had one person tell me this week that this commitment that they're making today is actually moving them from loving their church, which I think is a funny thing to move away from, right? From loving their church to loving God's mission for the church. You know, this person said, you know, I just love my church. I go home every week and I'm like, I love my church. It's so great. But I'm realizing that God has more for our church. And I need to love that mission and be engaged in that mission. That's a big transition. That's a big crossing over a river, right? So that's our first word, cross. Committing to generosity helps us turn the page in our story. It helps us cross from one place towards another. First word is cross. Second word is water. Another really obvious word in this story, I think, because it's all about water, right? And the story is it's about a river. And it's not just any river. It's a river at flood stage, right? So they talk about the Jordan River really particularly about at flood stage. And now, typically the Jordan River, I've got a picture of the Jordan River. This is often what it looks like in lots of different places throughout Israel, right? It's pretty, it's sort of meandering, and it brings some life all the way around it. But every year, it really only rains during one season of the year. And when it rains, the Jordan River turns into something like this, right? It's a little different. It's a little different kind of river here, right? It becomes a lot more life-threatening. Rocks and rapids create really treacherous crossing, and the river swells to be very, very, very powerful. And this is what God said, this is what the Bible tells us, this is when God asked his people to cross the river. So notice what God says in verse 13. As soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord The Lord of all the earth set foot in the Jordan. Its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So this is a little bit more than like dipping your pinky toe in and getting a little splash, right? God says, as soon as all the priests get in it, get into the river, then I'm going to stop something. And the priests, it's not just one guy who carries this thing. There's like a whole line of them. They carry them up on poles, right? So if you are one of the priests in line to get into the river, you really want to be at the back of the line, right? Because imagine, Sam, I'm going to need you. Can you come and stand right here for me? So imagine Sam is our first priest in line. High priest Sam, right? I'm the last priest in line, right? And as we go into the river, I'm about getting my foot in the river because we're both holding the pole. How far up do you think that is on this guy, right? Right about here, right? That's a little bit different. All right, you can sit down. That's good. Just want to give you that visual, right? That's a little bit different. It's not just sticking your toe in the water, right? You are up to your waist, some of them maybe even up to their neck in a life-threatening flowing river. And God says, take a step into that river. God does not stop the water until they're all in it, right? To commit is to trust God and to choose to get your feet wet, maybe even more. For some of you today, this commitment that we're going to make feels a little bit like stepping into a river at flood stage, right? It feels a little bit unsure and uncertain, and boy, I hope this works because I got stuck in the front of the line. For some of you, you can feel what that river is like sort of rushing around you. So I'll be a little honest with you today. As Cindy and I were sort of working through our commitment on this uncharted journey, we made some choices, and we got rid of some payments in our budget and said we want to be a little more giving, and that's where our generosity is wrapped up in some other payments, and so we want to make a choice to do that. And no sooner had we made that choice than we get a bill in the mail. And then 3 days later, we get another bill. And then 4 days later, one more. And we got about 6 or 7 of these bills over the course of the next 2 weeks. Bills that we had not planned for. Bills that we were not prepared for, right? And I thought, well, hey, wait a minute, God. Is this the way this is supposed to work? Because I made a choice for you, and yet here I am up to my neck in the river. And for me, I had to ask a question. God, am I going to choose to trust you? Or I'm going to get back out of this river. And for us, we chose to keep trusting. Maybe that's reckless. I have no idea, but that's the way we did it, right? It's risky, right? It's risky to stand in here and go, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I have to trust that you're going to. I'm going to get my feet wet. I'll get in the river. And God, you're going to really need to come through. For some of you, today feels pretty risky too, right? You came in here with a number, perhaps. And the risk that you're feeling is to say, maybe that number's not quite enough. Maybe that number for me just represents coming to the edge of the river but not getting all the way in it. And you hear God saying, you got to get down in the river, and that's where you're going to learn to trust me. And you don't know. You don't know how that's going to go. But you're hearing God say, I need to get your feet wet. You never know what God can do until you get your feet down in that river. So our first word is cross. Committing to generosity helps us cross from one place towards another, turning the page in our story. The second word is water, right? Committing to generosity asks us to get our feet wet and to trust God to stop the river once we're in it. The third word we have for today is distance. Distance. Here's how God starts out the whole exercise. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance. Keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Don't go near it. So God starts this whole exercise with, all right, make sure you keep a distance between the ark and yourself. The ark is really God's presence in their camp, in their nation. So God says, I want you to keep a distance between me and you. About 2,000 cubits, which I don't know if you have the translator in your phone that does ancient Hebrew units of measurement, but it's about 10 football fields, 10 football fields, 2,000 cubits. Keep a distance of about 10 football fields between me and you. So what God is doing here is to say, listen, you are about to cross over, right? You're about to step in the water, and you're going to be into a place, an uncharted territory, a place you've never gone before. This is a really important moment for you. And you're going to get your feet wet, and it's going to cause you to trust me in a way that you never have before. But here's the thing. I'm going to go first. I'm going to go 10 football fields ahead of you. I'm going to go first. As you are about to step into an uncharted place, I want to be there before you are. And that's really, really important. Because if you think about this kind of commitment to step into a river like that, or even this kind of commitment for you personally as we talk through this uncharted season, for us as a church, these are places we've never been before. They're hard, they're challenging. As a church and as individuals, for many of us, the journey ahead feels really unknown. There's all sorts of unanswered questions today, right? But God says, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to go ahead of you. You're not going to go anywhere that I have not already been. I am 10 football fields ahead of you. Some of you came here ready to commit today, and frankly, you're a little bit nervous, right? You're a little bit nervous about the number you've been thinking about. Or maybe you haven't even decided yet, and you're feeling this anxiousness about, okay, what's that going to be? How am I going to do that, right? You've got to commit to something. But before you do anything else, you need to remember this. You're not going anywhere where God has not already been. You're not going anywhere where God has not already paved the way for you 10 football fields ahead of you. Where you're going, God's already there. So making a commitment to generosity today is going to change you. It's going to change your life forever. There's going to be this moment where you cross from something and towards something new. Committing to generosity today is going to get your feet wet, right? It's going to cause you to step into the water and trust God in a way that you haven't until this moment. And committing to generosity today is not something you have to do alone, because God is so far ahead of you that he's cleared the way for you to do this. You're not going to go anywhere where he's not already been. And not only is God ahead of you, but if you notice in the scripture, he sends the leaders ahead too, right? He sends the Levitical priests to carry that ark and stand in the middle while the entire nation crosses by, just cheering them on, encouraging them, reminding them that you can trust God. We got in the river. Now you can cross by too. And in fact, a bunch of us did this last week. We had our advanced commitment night last week, Sunday night. There was over 100 of us that showed up at that thing. And it was one of the most impactful moments in this church's life. In my personal ministry, it was incredible. We had an amazing experience where a bunch of people said, we're going to get in the river. Because we know that this is going to matter for our church. This is going to matter for our community. This is going to matter for our children. We're going to get in and we're going to commit. Truly one of those moments that I'll never forget. And the commitments that these leaders have made has been so humbling and impactful and inspiring to me as a leader, right? And I've even heard people who've said, you know what, we're coming back on Sunday because the number we wrote down that day needs to go up. We feel like God's asking us to do even more on Sunday morning. And so they're here today because that's what they want to do. So that's incredible, right? Not only is God ahead of us, but our leaders are ahead of us, standing in the middle, cheering us on, saying, we can do this. God, we can trust God. So in a moment, we're gonna take that step together, right? We're going to take a step of commitment together, 100% of us. So do me a favor, pull out this commitment card. You probably sat on it when you came down. And let me just walk it through a little bit and help you understand what we're doing here. So as you look at this card, I want you to remember a couple of things. First thing, I want you to remember that what we do today matters. It matters not only for us as individuals who are taking huge steps of faith forward, committing to generosity like we never have before, But it matters for your church. And it matters for the lives in our community. This matters for your neighbors. This matters for all those houses that have not yet been built but are on their way. It matters for the generations to come. This little card, this silly little piece of paper, brings a lot of power with it. And we should remember that God is going to do amazing things with it. So second, I just want to remind you as you open it up and look at some of the boxes on the commitment card side of this thing. This is our total commitment to Jamestown Harbor Church over 2 years. It's a total commitment, one single number. So if you're someone who's already given, we want you to include that in there, right? We want you to include what you're already doing. Include your regular giving on there. And then whatever you give to whatever fund we have, this is all one fund. This is all one number for 2 years. Our total commitment to generosity. Not just the uncharted part of it. And so for some of you, this is going to be the first time you're ever committing to our church. This is the first time you're ever saying, I'm actually going to make a commitment in this way to Jamestown Harbor. And I'm so excited for you. Because when we commit, it changes our life. Just like it did for the Israelites. This will change you. This will change your family. Because you will be different when you step out of the river on the other side. For others of you today, you are choosing to give in a way that you just never have before. And this is a new challenge for you. And I want you to know that we're right there with you. I personally have never given the way I've committed to giving to this uncharted season. Never before. So if that's you, I'm right there with you. And it's good to know that I'm not alone either, right? So finally, the last thing I want you to know is you don't have to fill out every blank in here. There's math if that's a struggle for you. It's a worksheet to help you out. But really, it's just the commitment number on the bottom. That's the only number we're talking about today, right? It's your total commitment to Jamestown Harbor in the next 2 years. And here's the thing I would encourage you to do on the back. Don't do this anonymously. Own this commitment. Let this commitment be part of who you are and what you expect out of yourself. And allow us to encourage you along the way, too. We want to go on this thing together. My hope for each and every one of us that whatever we are committing today isn't about the number. It's about what the number is going to represent for you. My prayer is that this number for you represents stepping into uncharted territory with your trust, with your generosity, and with your surrender. That this number represents you moving from something to something else for you and your family. And my hope is that 100% of us would take this step together. So I'm going to invite the band up on the stage right now, and I'm going to give you just a few moments to pray and to think and to write. Don't get up yet. Don't do anything yet. But just think and pray together right now. Feel free to talk with your spouse if you're sitting with a significant other, and perhaps the two of you came in today with some different opinions on what you are going to commit today. So I'd invite you to pray together, to read through that together, but stay seated, right? I'll come back up in a few moments. I'm going to give us 3 minutes. For some of you, that's going to feel like an eternity, right? For some of you, it's going to feel not near long enough in this journey. But I'm just going to give you 3 minutes while the band goes ahead and play, and then we'll come back and talk about what's next. So why don't I pray as we enter this space together? God, I pray that over these next 3 minutes, you continue to work in our hearts. Whatever we came in with today in our hearts, God, I pray that you would speak a word of affirmation, a word of confirmation, a word of challenge, and God, remind us that you are so far ahead of us. So God, we pray that you would just be with us in these next few moments. Amen. Thank you. right, the band's going to keep playing, and they're going to lead us into our next worship set, but I just want to give us some instructions on how we're going to do this as we come forward when you're ready. And we have six boxes here, three on each side, and I want to invite you today to take a step of action on what God has been saying to you. Right, to not just hear the words God has called you to, but to step into uncharted territory with a moment of commitment into that. And so when you're ready, as the band's playing, I'm going to stand us all up, but when you're ready, come and drop your commitment card in any of these boxes. There'll be a long line, so if you don't all have to go first. But when you're ready to do that, and after you finished, I want to ask you that you take the other card that came in here today that was on your chair, this card. It's not a second ask, just so you know. It's a different kind of card. But this card here has it says two things. It says, today my uncharted commitment is taking me from and it's moving me towards. I would just invite you in this last worship set here to note what you think God is leading you from and what he's leading you towards. I don't know if you noticed our bulletin boards when you came in the lobby today, but we did this at our advanced commitment night, and you can see some of the things that God is already doing in amongst our community. So I would encourage you to take a moment when you come back down and to fill this card out. And then when you leave today, would you go out to the bulletin board and add yours to the list? It's an important moment for our church because God is moving us from something and to something else. And I think these cards are going to be an important reminder over the next 20 and more years as we remember that day where God started to move us forward, where he moved us away from one way of living and towards another way of living. So I'll just invite you to fill that out when you come back after you commit your card into the box and to take that into the lobby. Feel free to write your name on it on the back if you want, but you don't have to. All right, why don't you all stand now as the band leads us in our last song. And when you feel ready to commit, come on up and use any of the boxes that we have here.